We're going to talk about dirty laundry because everybody's got dirty laundry.
Everybody's going to air their dirty laundry.
So. Don't be airing your dirty laundry. You got to get your dirty laundry clean. Today's heart song comes from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 4 of A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith. My name is Ben Simpson, and I'm here with you as your host. And my co-host, as always, is the beautiful and lovely and adventurous Christy Simpson. What's up, Christy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, man. What's been going on today?
Well, we have been doing some bike riding. We've been doing some garage clean out. We've just been doing all kinds of stuff, really. So
there's always
making some sauerkraut, doing a little laundry, just a little bit of everything.
Yeah. It's been a full week. So that sounds like stuff that's not a lot of fun, some of that.
Right. No, it's definitely not a lot of fun. We try to make it fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to come up with some ways to make something fun that has to be done anyways.
Yeah.
But that's not always easy. So, yeah, sometimes we just don't have to do, sometimes it's just not fun stuff.
But that's life, right? That's adulting.
That's a life, yes.
You and I were just talking today, about how it seems like just the mundane things over and over and over again. But God's glory's in that, isn't
it? Right, absolutely. Those everyday things that have to be done. Just the consistency and being faithful to just being obedient to him in the everyday things. They're not always fun. You're right. And I love to have fun. I like to do fun things with our kids. But today was a beautiful Saturday. I had a meeting to go to first thing this morning, and it was a long one. And we just had to do some stuff that needed to get done. So yeah. It wasn't like a fun Saturday on the lake. It was just stay home and get some stuff done.
Maybe next weekend we can do something
there we
that's
go.
Really
maybe next, maybe
super
next time.
Duper fun. The highlight for me this week was our backyard Bible school. That thing was so neat. And if you're listening to this and you have a family with children and you're not connected to a church, it would just really bless our heart if you came and joined us at Eastwood Baptist Church's
sure.
South Campus. We really have a heart to see families be blessed and encouraged and equipped to raise their children in a godly way. And that's really with a heart behind this podcast here, a heart
sure,
for home.
Sure, we love to see families come in. Of course, you're welcome no matter what, even if you're single or whatever age you are. But we're really trying to reach families with young children just so that we can come alongside them, link arms together, and just journey this life together as believers sharpening each other.
Yeah. And so if you are listening to this podcast, we would encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through iTunes. You can find that at J. Ben Simpson. You can search that, J. Ben Simpson, or you can go to our website, jbensimpson.com, and you can listen to that there. You can share it with folks. We also have this on Facebook as far as sharing it. So we just encourage you to help get the word out. If this is a podcast that is blessing you, share it with people. Tell people about it. Word of mouth is so powerful for us, and so we encourage you to do that. But we also just know that we're going to begin to promote it in different channels and different ways, and so we hope that that we get it out there a little bit further. So at this point in episode 4, we hope that you've gotten a taste and it's been something that has been a blessing to you. So today, we are going to the most exciting place in the house.
I'm not sure if that's the word that I would describe.
What word would you describe?
I would not describe it as exciting.
Oh, and I haven't told them yet where we're going.
No. You might
want to
do that.
We are going to the laundry room today. No, for real. The laundry room's really important.
It's a very active place. I'll give you that. It's very active. It's a very busy place. It's just always, always, always going. So you're right there.
It is always going. Now,
Yes. Now
for us with a large family, the family with 7 people and, children between the ages of 14 and 6, I'm sure we do a lot of laundry.
We do a ton of laundry. In fact, our washer recently broke. So we are having to do laundry in different ways and travel with it. So it's kind of frustrating sometimes. But normally I get up and that's the first thing. I'll go ahead and turn on that laundry and then go straight to the dishwasher. So those things are constantly going, but especially the laundry, it's just always going.
Yeah.
So it's just something that, you know, in order to just not have it overwhelm you, we just keep it going.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, again, like you said, you just got to do it, right?
Right.
I don't know anybody that says, I love laundry. But you love your children, you love your husband, you love your wife. And so laundry is actually an act of love when you think about it. It's a way that we serve one another. But hey, this is where real life meets deep faith. And so let's talk about some real life for a moment when it comes to laundry. Just in your opinion, what are some things that you think would be tips for laundry that maybe could help
some
folks?
Sure, right. Well, just a few tips that we are always working on. I feel like we do not have these mastered by any means, but just a few laundry tips. Maybe just first of all, just get rid of anything that you don't need. Basically, just simplify the wardrobe and each person's closet, every person's wardrobe. Just go through and simplify it. If it's something they have not wore in the past several months, just get rid of it so that everything is so much more simplified and they don't have as much clothes.
Yeah.
And then it's less overwhelming.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because here's the deal. So you and I, you know, we've been married now for 18 years, right? And so we've lived in smaller houses and older houses and things like that. The closets used to be so much smaller.
Absolutely, so much smaller.
And now
yes,
we have,
even in the master bedroom,
we have walk-in closets now.
Yes,
that's kind of a new thing, right? That's a modern thing. Back in the day, a person may have like three pairs of clothes. Like I'm sure you've heard your parents tell stories about how many clothes they had.
Yes, just a few outfits. And that's how they would just go to school and just several outfits. And then they would have like one nice outfit. One nice outfit.
Yeah, that's wild.
So that's what my dad would talk about a lot. But just simplifying the wardrobe would help a ton. And that, like I said, that's something that we're always kind of working on.
Yeah.
It's just to get rid of things that we don't need. I'm always tossing out things. I'm always giving people stuff all the time.
Before you get to number two, though, when you get rid of it and not just give them away, but you've really done well with consigning.
Yes. I do a lot of consigning, and I will put it in consignment sales, and then I just turn around and buy what we need for the next season.
Yeah, it's a great way. Consignment sales typically do so much better than yard sales.
Right. Oh, yeah. We don't do many yards. Plus, we live way out, so like, nobody wants to come that far.
Well, and now there's this kind of this new thing that we're seeing a lot of action in, is this like Warren County for sale or whatever on these Facebook groups that are like local for sale things. And so you even sold some clothes on there.
Yeah, I have sold some things on there, which is nice because you can just go ahead while you're cleaning out the closet or cleaning out the garage or whatever, all those weird things that we don't really like to do, but it's just nice when it gets done. You know, I just will start posting stuff, and it's good to just get rid of stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a good way
That's one of the things I love about you. You're so industrious. I mean, you are that Proverbs 31 woman because you're able to take those things and turn it into cash. Things that we would just give away or throw away, you just have a way of making money with it, so... I love you for that, by the way.
You're funny.
So the second tip that you think of is what?
The second one I would say is to get kids to help. They can help sort, they can help fold, and they can also help put away. And now again, this is not always easy. I have four boys, I have one daughter. The boys do not like to do laundry, period. They don't like to fold, they don't like to put away, they don't like to do any of this stuff. And sometimes I will help them fold, we'll get it folded, and then I go to the room, and then it's totally destroyed, or the folded clothes are in the dirty laundry basket.
Oh.
So frustrating.
Yes.
So, because it's a lot of time, a lot of work to do all of this laundry. So, that's what I'd say. Number one, they can sort. They can sort when they bring their laundry to the laundry room. Ours is like a little hallway right beside our laundry room. They can sort the lights and darks. That's something even my little ones can do, but all of them can do that. They certainly can fold their own clothes, and then obviously they know where to put them away. Now, one thing I do with my little ones is I go ahead and have them put away all their play clothes, and then I just hang up anything that's good. So that way I know it's not going to be ruined.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Like, just, you know, anything that if we're going to go out to eat or go to church, that stuff is hanging up. The other stuff in the drawers is fair game for them. It doesn't matter how wrinkly it is. It doesn't matter if it's dirty and they put it back in there or whatever. Like, it's in the drawers. That's for what they can get each day for each morning.
Now, you said get kids to help. I didn't see spouses on your list there.
Oh, I should have put spouses and kids.
No, I mean, honestly, as I say, it really is important.
Sometimes we do have laundry date nights, though, for real.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
If it's just been piled up or we've done so much that week or whatever, then we just haven't gotten it all done. That's just life right now. And so, yeah, sometimes we just have to pitch in and do it together.
Yeah, I mean, the generation before us would have said that's woman's work, right? But that's not true, right? That it's household work.
It's
husbands,
household
wives
work. Absolutely.
Working together. And what's that saying, many hands make light work?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that the saying?
That is. Many hands do make light work. Yes, it's teamwork, for sure.
Absolutely. So keep kids and spouses, get them to help. And then finally,
the third one I would say is just keep it going. Know that it's a mind thing to think. A lot of times we just want stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, as moms, we want to check it off or tie a ribbon on it and just say done, sealed. And that's not the case. It can be frustrating. And some of you guys may be able to just have your laundry done and it's done for the week or whatever, but just know it's always going to keep coming.
Mm.
So I would just say try not to do it all at once, knowing that it's going to be a daily thing or at least every other day, that you just throw it in there and just keep it going and realize that it's never really done.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a mind thing to say, you know what, it's okay. You know, tomorrow's a new day and we're going to put another load in. And it's just, it's just one of those things. Just got to keep going.
And I hear some people talk about, how, you know, they make certain days a laundry day and things like that. We don't really do that.
Sure.
I guess
I've tried that before.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have tried that before, where I've had just this day's a laundry day. And that may work for you. It may work perfect for you. But if we did that, we would have like wet clothes. Like, I don't know, my kids, somebody's always wet or sticky or something or spilled something.
Yeah.
And to know that there's wet towels or wet something sitting there for a week until the next Tuesday or whatever, like that just doesn't work for us. But maybe that works for you, where you just have like one or two laundry days where you can just, you're home and you can get it all done that day.
So, right.
Yeah, whatever works for you all, just know that it's going to keep coming.
Yeah. So today in the laundry room, though, we're not just going to talk about laundry.
Not at all.
Right? We're going to talk about dirty laundry, because everybody's got dirty laundry.
Everybody's going to air their dirty laundry.
So. Don't be airing your dirty laundry. You got to get your dirty laundry clean.
Absolutely. That's the main thing we're talking about.
So when we think about that, think about the text, our heart song today, Isaiah 1:18. Let me say it again. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So this is a passage that tells us that spiritually, every single one of us on planet Earth have dirty laundry. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. In fact, it says here that your sins are like scarlet.
Right.
So you think about a garment that has ketchup spilled on it or pizza spilled on it or, you know, something red, you know, that just totally ruins. Let's say you got that nice white shirt, and next thing you know, you're eating a hot dog and the all the ketchup squirts out the bottom of it. It's like,
no.
Because that right there is so hard to get out.
Sure.
Right? And that's the way it is with our sins. Like that we're stained. Even when we feel like we've gotten rid of it, it's still there. That stain is still there. But God has promised us that our sins, though they're like scarlet, shall be white as snow. And though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool, which means to be clean and white and all those things. Now, that happens only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we think about that, we just want to go just through a simple gospel presentation. Moms and dads, if you're listening to this, this is an excellent way to share the gospel with your children, because more than your children need clean socks and underwear and shorts and shirts, their soul needs to be cleansed by Christ, through Christ, all right, through the gospel of Jesus. And so this is an easy way for you to think through how you share the gospel. Now, again, you wouldn't have to do it this way every time where it becomes, you know, kind of robotic or whatnot.
Sure.
But this is something that you can easily have in your mind so that you can share the fully orbed gospel with your kids. And maybe you're listening to this right now and you yourself are not a Christian. You know, those in our audience, we would hope, Christy, you know, that some are Christians. We expect that most of them probably are, but some of them may not be.
Sure.
And so if you're not yet a Christian, you never turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus, then as I talk about this, I want you to think about this as well, because this is for every person. You know, I became a Christian in 1997 at the age of 17. And that's when God changed my life. I was like scarlet, and I was like crimson. My sins were. But God made them clean through Jesus Christ. How old were you? What year was it when you were saved?
I was 8 when I got saved, and then I was baptized when I was 9. It wasn't shortly right after.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was young. But certainly, you know, I think of just being that new creation as God just, you know, through Jesus washes us white like scarlet, so or white like snow.
Yeah, so here is the simple way. A simple gospel presentation that I use a lot with children, our own children, with the children at Eastwood as well. I call it the four C's. And the first C is creation. In other words, God created you and me and every one of us, every human being, for a relationship with us, right? He wants us to have a relationship with
sure.
Him. It's not that God was lonely or that He needed somebody to talk to, because God is self-existent, triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, forever existed in that, right? So He has community even within the Godhead there, all right? So He wasn't lonely, but because He is a loving God and a glorious God and a good God, He wanted relationships with creation, all right?
Sure.
So He made us in His image, and he made us, you know, to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. But that takes us to the second C, which is what?
The second C is corruption. So when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that brought sin into the world, which was not God's plan, but He also knew that. So it ended up being His plan, and that's how Jesus came to be able to save us. So we have that sin through corruption.
Yeah, and corruption is really serious. Like, it's one of those things that as we say that word there, you know, corruption is that idea of being tainted. It's being dirty,
sure.
Right? That it's no longer pure. It's become corrupted. It's kind of like, you know, that drink that somebody stuck their finger in and stirred for you. Just think, you know,
sure.
Think about how nasty that would be, right? If
right.
someone did that, we'd say, dude, that drink is corrupted. I'm not going to drink that stuff, right? And that's kind of what sin has done in our life. It has corrupted us. But here's the important part we need to understand about this, is that that corruption has brought separation.
Right.
When we became corrupt in our being, in our morality, we fell short of God's glory. And at that point, God, who is holy, 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 could no longer have a relationship with us, because sin deserves death, right? I mean, it's really, really serious. I know that sometimes
sure.
in our modern day and age, we kind of downplay how serious sin is,
right.
But sin is cosmic treason. Think about that. It's cosmic treason, and rebels who traitors, you know, deserve death. And that's what we deserve. The Bible says that, all right? Clearly that we deserve that. But here's the beautiful thing. That brings us to our next C, which is Christ. So we've got creation. God made us for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption, sin. We are sinners separated from God. But that brings us to the third C, which is Christ. In other words, the Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus Christ came to earth to live, die, and rise again so that you and I could be saved. And the way I like to say this is that He lived the life that you and I cannot live.
Right.
In other words, He was morally perfect, pure. He never sinned. Where you and I before Christ, that's all we know is sin.
It's just really hard to explain this to children and explaining that He never sinned, but He was tempted. So He knew, even though He was fully man and fully God, He was tempted, but He didn't sin.
He didn't
so
sin.
So He knows what it's like to be in our shoes,
mm-hmm.
even though He didn't fall short.
That's right. That's right. He lived a life that we cannot live. But here's the second
right.
part, is that He died the death that we deserve, right? The wages of sin is death, and Jesus came and died in our place. Right, we talk about in theology, we talk about substitutionary atonement. All right,
sure.
He atoned for our sins in our place.
That's
he was our substitute.
Sure.
Yeah. So when we think about Jesus on that cross, we should have been on the cross.
Right.
But He came to die in our place, to die the death that we deserve. And so in doing that, He paid for our sins.
By shedding His blood.
By yeah. shedding His blood,
His
that's
blood
right.
had to be shed.
Yeah.
To take care of sin. So in
that's
the Old
right.
Testament, they would sacrifice animals to
yes.
shed that blood, which took care of their sins. But could you imagine having to do that for every sin you commit?
No, it'd be tough.
Not at all. But here, Christ has paid that. Christ has paid that price by shedding his blood to cover our sins. And just what a beautiful picture of grace, just never-ending, abounding grace.
And you think about how far that stretches. Here's how far it stretches. It stretches to every person who will turn from sin and trust in Christ, right? He paid for the sins of every person who will believe on him. And that's the beautiful thing when you think about that. So there's creation, corruption, Christ. And then the final C, it's kind of a big word, right? But again, as adults, we can put this in kid language or whatnot. But it's the word culmination. And what that means is that one day it's all going to come to an end. One day we're either going to stand before God after we die, or Jesus is going to return. Either way, this age is going to come to a close.
Right.
And we will stand before God. And God will say, why should I let you into heaven?
Right.
And if your answer is anything but, I repented and believed on Jesus, then we're not getting in. That's our only hope, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him, right? Right. He's the only way that our sins, which are like scarlet, can be made white like snow through forgiveness, right? When we repent and believe on Jesus, we are forgiven, we're cleansed, we're made pure. His righteousness becomes ours. And so that's how we're made white like snow and white like wool. You know, as I think about those passages there where we think about, you know, that corruption itself, you know, the Ten Commandments clearly show us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But we also know that we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Dirty laundry gets cleaned every time we come to Jesus. Now, as moms and dads, our primary goal as parents is to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what it says in Ephesians, you know, chapter 6, verse 4, right? So what does it say?
Yes, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So by not provoking your children to anger, it's showing that we don't want to force the gospel on them. We just want to simply live it out and share with them who Jesus is and share with them the gospel of Christ.
But if we're going to do that, we've got to share the gospel, right?
We've got to be intentional.
If we're going to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it begins by sharing the good news of Jesus with them.
And then they will continue to watch you
day
after day. And they will tell you when you fall short.
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yes, absolutely.
And at this point, we've had the blessing of seeing, you know, our four older children come to Christ.
Sure.
And our fifth one at this point, Sam, who's 6 years old, he's asking a lot of questions, and we're just trying to be faithful. But just quickly here as we come to a close, we want to share just some practical things here, real life meeting deep faith. So we wanted to share three quick things about things that parents need to keep in mind when we share the good news with our children. The first one is what?
Sure. The first one is just keep it simple. It doesn't have to be hard. So many people have asked me, you know, what books do you use, or how can I share it, or I don't understand how to tell my children, you know, who Jesus is, or explain the gospel. Just keep it simple. Open your Bible. Start with John 3:16. That's the perfect passage.
Right.
And most children in Sunday school learn that first thing. So just, you don't have to have extra material and extra resources. If you do, that's fine. But if you don't, if you want to draw it out, if you just want to draw a picture of a cross, if you're a visual learner, mm-hmm. your child's a visual, or if you just want to simply read the Bible to them and explain who Jesus
right.
is.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, over the years, I've used this four C's over and over again.
Sure.
Right? Creation, right. corruption, Christ, and culmination. Those are really just easy ways to help think through. It's really a simple way to share the good news with our children and with right. anybody, really. And the second thing we would say to parents is what?
The second thing I would say is just to be consistent. You know, continue to share with them who Jesus is and who he is in their life every single day. And as they get older, continue to talk to them how they can see God working in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, too. Even as our kids are getting bigger, they've heard the gospel over and over. They're sitting in church. They hear it from the devotions at home. But how is he working in their everyday life? Because he is. He's alive and working every day. So that's just another thing. It's just being consistent, which is a challenge to us as well.
Right.
Just knowing that we just need to be consistent with sharing the gospel with our children and what that looks like in everyday life.
Everyday life. And the third thing we would say to parents is stay sensitive. And what we mean by that is that, you know, oftentimes it's going to happen at the time you least expect it.
Sure.
Right? You may have this time to talk with them and you're really making this angle to really share the gospel with them and talk through it. But it may be time when you're talking to them at night, when out of the blue, sure, they talk to you. I still remember with Zachariah, you know, he was 8 years old at the time. He's our oldest. He's 14 now. But, you know, it was one night. You know, we'd shared the gospel with him a lot. We talked with him. And you actually had a conversation with him on the way to some friends for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, on the way there, you were sensitive and you felt that the door was open and you began to talk with him about it. Sure. And about 4 or 5 hours later at bedtime, he called me in there and said, "Dad, I got to tell you something." And I said, "What?" I ran in there, you know. He said, "I believe I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." And he had right there in his bed. He knew we had trained him. We had shared the gospel with him. And it's just been neat. We could tell stories of every child as they've, sure, come to Christ. And it's just been neat. But stay sensitive. You know, there's no age limit. Our, you know, Elijah, our second child, was 5 years old.
And he was so sure and just really wanted to make sure that he was saved. He was, right, very, very sensitive to it, to the Spirit. And at the time, we were kind of like unsure. We were just like,
well, yeah,
oh,
you're,
you know,
so
you're
young.
Only five, you know. God will continue to work on you. It's fine. But we just felt like God was really just telling us that it was time for him.
Yeah. Yep. So stay sensitive. We are so thankful that today you've come here with us to the Laundry Room. We hope that you've been blessed. We pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would motivate you to be a parent who is Jesus-centered, right? That's what you need to be as a parent. And so we pray that this will be really a blessing to you. We pray that your crimson and your scarlet will be like wool through Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us on A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith.